like, wake, rattle, and bowl, man. It's 1975 and every Saturday morning.
One year before I'm born, you know, fashion's
happy birthday. Hey there, I'm Adam Fair,
and I'm Dusty Griffin. And Adam, I've had a lot of thoughts about the 70s lately.
Ew.
was disco dead?
Oh, it's in full swing, man.
I don't know. You know, the hardest thing ever has got to be animating, unless it's on Shazam and Isis, because there was none, or Far Out Space Nuts, there was none.
Yeah, not animation, you weren't trying. So if you were animating, good show. But we're still going to talk smack about you. Yeah,
yep.
It's 1975, and the top songs are Love Will Keep Us Together, Jive Talking, Rhinestone Cowboy, The Hustle, Get Down Tonight, and That's the Way I Like It. We're looking into the Ocular Network. We're peeling back the lids. It's the top CBS shows at the time. Sonny and Cher. Sonny and Cher. Phyllis. Good Times. One Day at a Time. The Jacksons.
Is that what was going on? You know, Adam, I just got to say one more time. Sonny and Cher are Rowan and Martin's George and Gracie.
there's still, in 75, it does seem weird that Sonny and Cher are on, but I guess that makes sense.
I know. You know, were you not watching a couple of these and going, this quality? Is it just 75? It's not older? You know, like, I don't know.
I just thought all the jokes on Sonny and Cher were taken out and shot after each episode.
They were taken to the glue factory.
Also, the Jeffersons and All in the Family are still on.
Hey,
as well as the ill-fated spinoff, Grady, from Sanford and
Was
Son.
There really was a Grady?
There was a Grady show.
Oh my God.
Grady!
And as Adam informed me, Amen is not worth catching after the Jeffersons.
Oh God. it's not going to meet your Sherman Hemsley needs, because I was looking to watch something. I was like, I don't think Amen's really a reliable source of Hemsley.
I love that you were looking to watch some Sherman Hemsley. That's a hell of a
It just comes back to watch dinosaurs again. Hey, speaking of dinosaurs, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and time for reruns of the 1971 series, The Pebbles and Bam Bam Show.
Yes. Not feeling this one, were you, Adam?
Well, you know what? This is historically known as a low point in the Flintstones' history. It features Sally Struthers and Jay North as the titular teenagers, and the continued stoned teenager exploits of Pebbles and Bam Bam and their band, the Bedrock Rockers. You think they would have been like the Bed Rockers?
No, that's too clever.
I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, the theme song is like...
Tell me how you felt about that.
It's like, rah, rah, siskoon ba, Pebbles and Bam Bam, rah, 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 did we mention rah? It's a college fight song.
Skeet
annoying.
And scat and fiddly foo. And Fred and Bonnie, too.
Yeah. Hey, folks. I don't want to ruin this whole series.
Somebody
for
say
you,
my name.
But Fred and Barney are shoehorned in here like you have never seen. Like, they are utilitarian.
Boy.
Like, they don't even have jobs anymore. They just hang out.
Bumming around the house.
They hang out with their kids. Gee, Barn, you're a real football dad now.
You know, we don't do anything.
You know, I swear to God, Adam.
Boy, you know, in the blink of an eye, Fred.
Were they not hedging their bets here? They were like, we got to have Fred and Barney. We got to, y'all.
Well, this is the first spinoff of the Flintstones since they went off.
Is it?
So I can see why they're like, oh, let's age them up a little bit. But they don't really age Fred, Barney, Betty, and Wilma. They just aged up Pebbles and Bam Bam. Looking fine.
You know, Adam.
God, this, you know what this, I gotta say, this podcast has revealed to me my weird caveman fetish.
Oh, really?
Full effect this Saturday morning, more later.
Man, they got Pebbles looking stylish, too.
It's ridiculous.
You know? I mean,
what are they doing?
They really got, because we just got off of, you know, Was it 1981 where they were like sexualizing
their variety? Yeah, the Pebbles and Bam Bam show kind of comes back later, but with less of a supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Hey, I'm about to surprise you, Adam.
Huh?
This is one of my favorites that I watched.
I didn't hate it. It just wasn't very... Even for Flintstones, I was like, well, this isn't funny.
It's just
Flintstones.
It's not as far from the first Flintstones as what comes after it. You know what I mean? Like, I can see it looks the same, kind of. It feels the same. I mean,
There's just some weird moves here.
Mm-hmm.
If the original show was like a setup of 1950s sitcoms, I feel this should have been more of a comment on 1960s culture. And like Pebbles and Bam Bam maybe should have been on like tour with some band. Like, their band should have been in some sort of Woodstock situation or I don't know. I still like the idea of old Fred Flintstone. Like, they should have made him a little more like, well, the Catasaurus is in the cradle in the silver rack.
Boy, Fred, where's the time go?
Precious metals we haven't discovered, rocks in the moon.
Hey, Fred, do you think my wife's voice is getting, like, worse and worse?
Oh, hey, well, this is Betty 2. Betty V2.
Yeah, we caught the third Betty, was it, in the...
I think that's the same one.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have their names down because this isn't... Whenever it's not the first season of these shows, I'm always like, look, I know I'm going to have to do, like, the thorough version of this for that year, so I don't have the voice actors' names offhand.
Yeah, you know, look, I had right here to ask you, like, which Betty is this?
I know it's Betty 2, because she's there longer than Betty 1.
Betty 2, it seems like she sounded worse in the later stuff.
Yeah, maybe she kind of sounds like Rosie O'Donnell. Maybe that was the decision. Like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It just takes you out of it for a minute. It takes you out of it for a minute when everybody's talking and then Betty starts talking and it's somebody different.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. You know.
Yeah, it's awkward. But they do have a bunch of friends. Penny, Wiggy, Cindy, Moonrock, and Schleprock.
Yeah, Schleprock.
So bad luck, Schleprock is an unlucky, gloomy loser everyone hates, who wears gray and black with a big hat over his eyes. I love him.
That's one of their friends there.
He's like, wozy, wozy, woe, gloom in the room. And he's just a curse of a pathetic person.
Oh, wait, that's a... So, I've got here that Moonrock is cute.
Moonrock is this nerdy... I hate Moonrock's guts.
He's cute from James Bond.
Oh, man.
He gives him gadgets. Yeah, you're right. Isn't that the same role?
I hate his guts.
Or he's like Black Panther's sister.
He's the know-it-all. Their three friends are like some girl, and then some girl who sings everything, and then this nerd ass who corrects everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm. You're leaving somebody out, though. Like,
who?
What about Ronk? There's one more character.
Do go on.
Bam Bam has a dog, right?
It's Dogosaurus?
Dogosaurus? Yeah, and it's...
What happened to Hippity Hopper? The kangaroos? I don't know.
I would rather have Hippity Hopper, honestly, but...
He put them in his mucus-filled pouch.
What have I got? I've got Snooks written here. Is that the voice actor?
Oh, no, that had to be that animal's name.
Snooks. Oh, okay, his name is Snooks, and he says ronk, ronk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It would be funny if Dino was dead.
Oh, God.
Or just really, really old. Yay, how do you like it now? You're too old to jump on me, huh? Fred! I watched the episode Schleprock's New Image. So Schleplock shows up and then immediately everything goes to hell. And he's like, oh, gloom in the room, I did it again. And Pebbles says, maybe I could turn him from a walking bad luck omen into a real human being. And Bam Bam's immediately disgusted.
Manipulate his life like that.
That's a real idiot's errand.
Wowsy, wowsy, woo-woo, that's awfully miserable of you.
And she decides to borrow Fred's best suit to make him look better, but his ugliness breaks the mirror, and Bam Bam says, how much can one mirror take? That's fucking
mean. And then
mean.
The mirror says, it's a living.
The pieces all say it in unison.
Yeah.
All the reflections say
it. Hey, just, you know, off the top of my head here, Adam, why does Bam Bam wear a safety helmet all the time?
We talked about that last time we saw Bam Bam. Because we watched one where Fred had a helmet on and it was a turtle shell. And then we were like, well, he always has a turtle shell on.
Yeah, oh yeah. So it's like Bam Bam's wearing like a hard hat.
Maybe Bam Bam picked up something too heavy one time and now he has to be really careful about that spot in his skull. And speaking of skulls, they take Schleprock, which they say a million times, to the barber. And they take off his hat and these hairs in the shape of a hat. Gross. They take him to finishing school, and Mr. Snoodstone is the yes guy. I was like, that's good.
I don't work here. He came back in The Simpsons
first last season. Strip. Pebbles gets an idea to give Schlepp a good luck four-leaf clover, but it falls apart in his hands, deciding to die rather than be with Schlepprock.
Holy.
Then they go into Good Luck Cavern and run into a crazy professor who forces them to help dig for a lost city that doesn't exist. They take a minecart on a crazy ride and get free almost, but end up back at the beginning. But Schlepprock, like, touched the wall and falls in. He's like, oh, I ruined the wall by standing too close. Nice life.
His ugliness destroys all.
I don't understand. These extra, the non-Flintstone-related characters are always, like, such the weirdest choices. They're fad related, right? That's the only way to describe them. Like, oh, it's just like the, like how Bewitched was an episode of the Flintstones.
Yeah,
like suddenly Bewitched is down the street because Bewitched is on. That's why.
I was gonna say, Adam, actually, yeah, the Flintstones did the same thing, really. You know, the Flintstones was just as trendy,
so, oh yeah,
yeah, you know, it was just a slightly different time. I kind of don't like that they threw him in a band. I mean, forgive
me. They got to be in a band.
God, Adam.
I don't even remember what lame song they sung.
What did we watch? 66?
Since 65. This took me back.
Ever since the Beatles came out.
Well, I thought that played into the 60s-ness of what this I thought would be had it been 10 years from the, you know, from 50 BC. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the joke. Whatever.
But I enjoyed it.
Boy, did I overthink that.
I'm not saying it's as good as the original. Not at all, but
it's not Poison. I thought it was gonna like suck burgers, but it was decent.
Hey, did you think it was like the something's a little bit wrong with the animation copy these days? Like
it's a little fugly.
Yeah, it's like it's muddy.
I think it's because the anything we've seen probably isn't from a master. Like these are probably from old tapes that somebody made available. But maybe I don't know. I haven't seen the actual DVD.
Yeah. You know, remind me to tell you...
this bad?
Man, remind me to tell you, or I'll go ahead and tell you that Valley of the Dinosaurs that I watched was actually being shown on a high school, old school film projector. It was a video.
Oh, right.
You know what? It was a video of somebody showing it on the old reels.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't believe this. You could hear the sound in the whole nine.
Well, as long as the Flintstones... As long as this show's not up against some sort of quality animation program.
Yeah.
It could blow it away. Oh, 8:30, it's the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show, and am I wrong? This was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner hour before yeah. this was yeah. its name. And
big diff.
Yeah. Yeah. These
this still is the overture.
I believe, if I read correctly, Adam, these had a couple of new little rejoinders in between them, some little two-minute animated bits.
Oh, were they disco-related or something?
Oh, probably.
Disco Rabbit.
That was all the new content, though. So you watched some very focused ones, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to... I always like to do some hard concentration on something. I thought I'd talk about Gossamer, the big red thing with tennis shoes on... He's only in, like, three cartoons.
Really?
I think Taz is in at least four.
So, he's in the old one where he has the black fingernails, right?
So, he's in, let's see, there's only three of these. So, he's in Hair-Raising Hair, the 1946 cartoon where it's him versus Peter Lorre who lets him loose.
Oh, really?
And they do the, like, and so Bugs Bunny's go-to is to, like... Oh, look at your nails. And he puts them in the water, and they're big mouse traps in there and stuff. He does the whole, like, oh, you monsters are such interesting people. I said to my girlfriend just the other day, my, oh, my stars.
Is that the one where he says, dip your patties in the water?
And so, having reevaluated the situation, our hero exits stage like. That's a classic one.
Those are awesome, man. Both of those, the original and the remake, were awesome. What's the third
one? So, yeah, there is a remake. 1952's Water, Water, Every Hair, where it's more of a
weird name for that one.
He gets flooded out of his hole, and then an evil scientist who sounds like Vincent Price sets Rudolph loose.
Bugs, maybe I'll give you a punch. How about I give you a kick?
How about I show you how to serve rabbit with delicious carrots? So he's called Rudolph in this one instead of Gossamer. And he doesn't appear again till Duck Dodgers and the Return of the 24th and a Half Century, 1980. And that's when he's finally nailed down as Gossamer.
The Return was that solo show, right?
Well, The Return was a one-off.
Oh, okay. It was the second part of the Duck Dodgers?
Yeah, I think it was made. Yeah, it was made for a TV special. They were like, "We'll have," and this ends with the all new Looney Tune. They haven't seen in a clip show yet, and it was a sequel to Duck Dodgers. And then, like,
oh, okay,
you know, many years later, they made that whole show about it.
And they had that. Did you know in that show they crossed over with Green Lantern?
What?
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Gossamer.
Yeah.
Gossamer, old pal. So
those are great. I don't know about that third one. Not in a lot of them. I don't know about that third one, but the first
one. It's probably not great.
Are pure quality.
I think he's in the 3D movie too, or if it's, you know what, eventually Marvin the Martian always has those weird beaky bird Martian alien creatures that he grows with bills. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Add water. They're Insta Martians.
Yeah. They're birds with like palm trees sticking out.
Right, they have little umbrellas like Go Go Dodo kind of had.
Oh, that's weird. You know, I love the idea of him getting washed out of his hole by the rain and that whole bit. That's a fantastic episode.
Yeah, he's like asleep underwater, and at some point, an ether bottle gets broken, and they have this delightful slow motion chase. They just slowly hop away,
and Bugs is floating through the air inexplicably.
Yeah, they're just they're both smiling, and he's like, "Come back." So they bounce through the air like it's a Downy commercial.
So that one starts. That one starts with Bugs getting washed out of his hole, which is
That's why it's called Water, Water, Every Hair.
That's an abstract idea right there. And then it ends with him floating back into his hole on ether.
But a lot of the jokes are beat for beat the same ones in Hair Raising Hair. Like instead, this time he goes, "Look at your hair, my you monsters have such interesting hairstyles." Bobby pins, please. I was telling my girlfriend just the other... Like, it's almost the same shit, but they found more riffs on it. So it's still really funny. I love knowing what 1952 homosexual hairdressers sound like. Like, oh, okay, they said interesting a lot.
This is preserved history.
Interesting! And then I watched a really racist one called Southern Fried Rabbit.
Oh.
I was just watching random Bugs Bunnies, and I saw... Yep. There's like a carrot boom in Alabama, so Bugs Bunny starts singing, "Alabama bound, I wish I was in Dixie," but when he gets to the Mason-Dixon line, Confederate Sam won't let him pass because he's been told to not let anybody over, but Bugs Bunny informs him, "The war ended 90 years ago," and Sam says, "I ain't no clock watcher." And then he chases him, and he's like, "Oh, gotta burn my boots, they touched Yankee soil." So you think you know what side of the coin this cartoon's on, but then Bugs Bunny puts on black fur.
Oh, right. This is
sings "The Sun Shines Bright," then pisses Sam off by singing "Yankee Doodle Dandy," and then does a whole "Don't Beat Me" masses spin. Yeah, it's brutal.
Did they ever make a second version of this
without that? No, but there's like more southern Bugs Bunny cartoons and with Yosemite Sam. Then immediately Bugs Bunny turns into Lincoln. This is where he turns into Lincoln, returns to chastise Sam for whipping slaves, and gives him his card to his Gettysburg address. So this cartoon wants to have its cake and make fun of black people too. Wow. This is crazy.
Yeah, you know, and I think eventually, of course, like all the channels had edited versions of these.
I don't think this one aired because at all. That blackface scene's terrible.
You know, I recall some of this being over my head as a kid. Like, you know, all this Civil War stuff.
Oh, all of that. All of the racial connotations went way over my dumb head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's obvious now, but at the time, it's just like, I guess that's just something.
I didn't even get the Civil War stuff. Boom. I remember watching these and being like, Yankees, what? What is the what?
Oh, man, it's brutal. Oh, yeah, and Bugs Bunny gets in drag, and then Sam's like, oh, sorry, ma'am, I heard there's a Yankee in here. And he's like, oh, a Yankee! That part made me laugh.
Is that where he lets up his corset with it's like a shutter?
Oh no, I don't remember that. There's another Southern one where like they're both trying to marry Granny. I think that's weird.
Oh boy.
So what the hell?
You know. So well, if you
that's all I wanted to say about that.
What if you hell? Haven't seen those folks, because Adam told me he was like, I'm gonna watch Southern Fried Rabbit, and I was just like, what is that? So.
Self-explanatory.
I looked it up and I just skipped through it on YouTube and I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I just
one.
Don't get like why it's just all over the place. It gave me whiplash, especially that like turn to Lincoln. I was like, all right. And also, this doesn't feel like this was 90 years ago. It sounds like a lot of people are still thinking about it in 1950, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. Get me out of this decade.
So, Adam, you know, I watched Rabbit Fire, and I watched the...
Oh, of course.
Opera. You know, Rabbit Fire.
Is it the amazing. First of the three Bugs, Elmer, Bugs, Daffy Elmer. Trilogy?
It seems like it. It seemed like the first one, you know?
They're the heavy on wordplay edition. I can only really remember Duck Rabbit Duck as the one with snow, and I don't really know how to differentiate the other two.
I don't know. I don't recall.
One has pronoun trouble.
Duck season fire. You know this one. Oh, no. You know this
one. Not again.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good, though. Like
those cartoons solidified those three characters' personalities for the next 60 years.
Yeah, because the first thing I tuned into had the old Elmer. Oh, far inferior.
Oh, what? Tubby, weird Elmer?
Yeah.
So, probably with the old voice.
So, yeah, far inferior to this one.
Oh, wow.
You know, I also rewatched, speaking of Elmer, the opera episode. Is it Night at the Opera?
Oh, what's Opera, Doc?
Yeah, I watched that. Oh, yeah. That was classic. And I also caught, like, the Latin version.
What?
Oh, man. I couldn't believe how far out they were going. You know, like, it wasn't some simple production. It sounded good. It was a different voice.
Mi amor.
Mm-hmm. And I watched Duck Twicey.
Duck Twicey is a great Bob Clampett cartoon.
Classic.
Pumpkinhead! Pickle Puss!
Yeah, they're painted. They're like fully painted in that scene.
That's a beautiful cartoon. That one's got that great scene where they all dogpile on Duck Twicey, and then Duck Twicey's parts all disassemble and then reassemble into him again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, so good. I also watched Waikiki Rabbit or Waikiki Bugs.
Is that that one with the two? Are they like Laurel and Hardy? They're like an old comedian duo.
And then it ends.
Trying to eat him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one was...
Old, though? I don't think they're old. They're they're just kind of middle-aged.
Olsen and Johnson. Like, I can't remember what... They are a comedy team making some sort of Bugs Bunny appearance. But I remember this cartoon was available. It was very much public domain. Because it would always be on those weird, cheap Looney Tune mixes that always had like a Daffy Duck as Hitler cartoon.
Yeah, that you could rent at the gas station for some reason.
It was like, how about some cartoons that really make you think, what happened? Yeah. And the Looney Tunes were involved?
Yeah. Usually you could like go to the gas station up the road from my house and rent this video and it had like, 8 or some ungodly number.
Like. Yeah, now they'll have like 113 cartoons DVD sets, and it'll be in there with the same Baby Huey cartoon we talked about in the Baby Huey episode, and the same Popeye cartoons.
And then just something really racist. You know what I mean?
And like then one that you're like, what? They didn't need to include Daffy the Commando in here. Schultz!
Hey, Adam, I just wanted to close out my bit here by asking you, because you probably do know. In my reading, I saw that there's new Looney Tunes coming next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's still new Looney Tunes that haven't come out that they made. There was a show called New Looney Tunes, and it's aired, I think, overseas, but half of it aired here as Wabbit. And I've watched about half of it, and it's interesting.
No shit.
I mean, I've seen some pretty bad versions of the Looney Tunes. They have to be pretty bad for me to be like, this didn't work at all. There's like a Grim Reaper that's trying to get Bugs Bunny. They're trying to think outside the box with Looney Tunes, and in that way, I respect it. But also, they made the characters really funky looking. Like Porky's kind of pigged out. That sounds weird.
We'll have to
Daffy's talk. Really skinny and crazy again. Bugs is really got like a big head. Like, it's weird designs.
Yeah, well.
Same voices, same characters. It's interesting.
Interesting. It didn't happen in 75, so we're just we're just mentioning it. And that's all I got.
There'll probably be another new Scooby-Doo soon, but at 9:30, you gotta watch reruns of the 69 series.
Rude? 69, rude. Yeah.
How about that Scooby-Doo?
How about him, y'all?
He sure is on a lot of these.
He is, isn't he?
You know what I got to talk off the top of my head. When I watch Scooby-Doo, I really love that opening.
Yeah. It's great.
Hey, Scooby!
Oh, yeah, me too. And how about those beautiful painted title cards?
Oh, those are really gorgeous. Damn, I found a page of just those.
Looks great. Those
are very tidy. I paid attention to the songs. It's like, I bet I know every background cue in every episode.
Yep. Oh, man. You know, Adam, let me just throw out there that I looked at the year and I looked what was going on. There were some the new Scooby-Doo movies, I believe, started.
They were coming up.
Yeah. So I watched like the first.
That's the new Scooby-Doo coming out. They're doing a new version of the new Scooby-Doo movies. Oh, yeah. Where it'll be silly celebrities.
That'd be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I presume.
Hey, you know, I watched the Three Stooges episode.
Oh, what?
Mm-hmm. And first of all, just off the top of my head, Curly Joe.
Hey, Curly Joe, you're like my favorite stooge.
They couldn't just pull Curly out of lore. You know, it's a cartoon.
Just like they could have made it any Curly.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
But they chose Curly.
Right? Why Curly Joe? So disappointing.
He probably had the most stooge stock.
Adam, I just want to point out, in the Three Stooges episode, a lot of people are exposed to uranium. And they test it. And they have like, you know, a guy.
Uh-oh, Rancer.
Yeah,
what's this romp?
Like my balls hurt.
Yeah, so I was like, they obviously didn't know at the time how dangerous that was going to be. You know, they're just like,
you got radiation on you.
And that was it.
What are the Three Stooges wearing? I always thought they were in
prison outfits.
Yeah. What happened?
I think they're light blue, I want to say. You know?
I thought they were bright orange.
Why
are they in prison outfits?
I don't know.
We killed a guy.
They're janitor outfits.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, but phew. I was worried.
Mo does most of the talking here. You know what I'm saying? Mo, and they're all like, gee, Mo, why do you... It's like, I don't know.
Mo killed a baby by stabbing him in the eyes.
Never talk about that.
Adam, also, I want to pose a question to you that I've got written here. Do you think Scooby-Doo is the most consistent show on every Saturday morning so far?
Does it always deliver Scooby-Doo? Yeah, I guess so. There's so many versions of the same thing, though. I don't know. I hate watching the Scrappy-Doo ones, though.
Oh, do you?
Where it's like Shaggy in the red shirt. I don't care for Shaggy in the red shirt.
Yeah, you know,
I read that thing you sent me too about how maybe it was an allusion to Maynard J. Krebs sharing a role as Gilligan under Bob Denver's.
Yeah, they were claiming that he.
IMBD.
They were saying that Red Shirt Shaggy is wearing the exact same thing as Gilligan, is what they were saying. And Shaggy is based on Maynard J. Krebs from W. Gillis, right?
Well, you know, the ghosts were also always real. When he wore that red shirt.
The red shirt.
So maybe it wasn't just... Maybe the bad luck red shirt was the cause of all the real ghosts and Scrappy, and not Scrappy causing all the real ghosts like I originally thought.
That's interesting.
He's not a bad luck omen. That shirt's evil.
Yeah, the shirt or jeans. It could be the jeans. He's usually wearing like some, you got to assume they're suede, right? Or
I believe the last time Shaggy wears red, because he does, I think he wears it in 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think him, Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf, I think, is the last time.
Oh, you know, also at this time.
That one sucks.
Also at this time, they have Daphne dressed like the girl from Speed Buggy.
See why. Good choice.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into that.
But. And they yank out Fred and Velma. They're just gone, and there's no mention of them.
Yeah, something bad happened.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, did you notice that?
He punched her.
They mentioned, did you know that Scooby Dumb is from Georgia?
Yeah, that feels about right.
Howdy, y'all.
Confirmed. In one of the episodes.
Hey, my name's Scooby Dumb.
Yeah. Everyone's like, we knew it was.
Deed be hotter, she is my cousin.
Oh my God.
Scooby does his cousin.
Whoa, Raggy. You are the sword of Michael. I prefer the Venture Brothers Scooby.
My dad says I kiss best.
That
Rikes. Jesus Christ.
You can't see me laughing till I can't breathe on an audio podcast.
Scooby-Doo Vacation. That would be a great write-itself movie where they just go to like Spooky World, and like all along the way they see relatives and horrible things.
Oh my God, yeah.
Come on, get this done.
Rowdy Road.
That would be a good use of those. Chevy Chase could show up in a Scooby-Doo, and I'd enjoy that.
Scooby ran for a mile before his little legs gave out.
I didn't even put that together.
Take this and get out of here. That would be classic, Adam. You're right. So I'm digging Scooby Doo.
Bad news, guys.
Remember when we tied Scoob to the bumper? Didn't go so well. You know, I heard some of the Matthew Lillard Shaggy too.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not bad.
I don't
have
a problem with that.
Not bad.
There's been a lot of good Velmas too. Frank Welker's still Fred.
Oh yeah.
Other than Pup Named Scooby Doo, he's always Fred.
You were saying that. Yeah, Fred. That's interesting because he's a very static character usually. You know.
You said you watched some Mystery Inc. Did you see any of the growth they tried to give Fred Jones? Make him so needy.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't watch a ton of it because this wasn't the week.
It's involved.
Yeah. I noticed that Putty is on there from Seinfeld.
That's right.
Yeah. And of course, like Velma has interactions with Shaggy. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but
it's good. It's a little like Riverdale is a great way to explain.
Yeah, it's definitely
way beforehand.
Yeah. They also made some not quite fourth wall breaks.
There's some. I think there's a statue of Scrappy.
Like, let me tell you about one joke. Right. So they unmasked the monster, and it was this guy, and they were like, why? They all go, why would he need to steal a lot of money? He's got a job as a teacher. And then she looks around and they're like, oh, right. Killing it, Adam. Killing it.
I like Mystery Inc. That's really good use of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, especially coming off 13 Ghosts is good. You know, 13 Ghosts is weird.
There's some weird gaps in Scooby-Doo. You'd think it would just be like non-stop, because except for The Simpsons, it's probably the second longest consistently running cartoon, because it may kind of rearrange things and be a different version of itself, but it is mostly the same three elements happening over and over and over.
Yeah, but I enjoyed branching out and watching these different Scooby-Doos, though.
So far, watching Scooby-Doo, except for Scrappy, has been fine. So I see no problem with moving on from talking about it. Because it's 10 o'clock, And it's time for the non-controversially titled Shazam and ISIS Hour. Yes, it's Gomer Pyle versus the Islamic State.
Yes, yes.
Season 2 of 3.
Season, and next year it'll be called the Shazam ISIL Hour.
Shazam, why are they so mad?
Name change.
This is a Filmation live action show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
More Shazam. I didn't know this character had legs.
Oh my God.
Because it's stupid. He doesn't have the right name.
His
name should be Captain Marvel.
I know, his kid is Captain
or
Marvel.
Or Shazam, but they can't call him Shazam, and he can't say it's so because, stupid situation.
You know, for anybody that doesn't know, it's because the name was tied up in court with Marvel.
Maybe, why do these people care? Just give it up.
I'm not even sure he started with DC. I think he might have been like Gold Key, and then they acquired him. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't have the rights to his name for a long-ass time. But God, he's shown up a lot. And
more Shazam than I thought. It's the adventures of the very thick-haired Billy Batson, who can transform into Captain Marvel. Michael Gray, Jackson Bostwick, and John Davey played these two characters with his guardian mentor, Les Tremaine. They travel around solving crime in their magical motorhome. This show looks like a Kool-Aid commercial.
Yep. Yeah, or like a Sunny D commercial.
Or better, this is After School Special, the show. It's so After School Special-y.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Tell me any episode you watched, and then I'll tell you mine.
First of all, ISIS was very After School Special-y, too. But I only got to see, we'll get on to ISIS. But I got to watch kind of some little 3-minute best ofs of the series of Shazam. Yeah. First of all, Adam, that RV looks like hell. What the hell is that?
It's the one from Race with the Devil.
Oh, it looks like the one.
Hills Have Eyes.
It looks like the one from Breaking Bad. You know, it looks like shit.
It's seen some hard times.
But
we
they got a Shazam symbol on the front.
Subtle. Well, it is the way it looks. It like is what hell. You scream to become your secret identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Secret identity Shazam, activate now!
And like Adam said, between the two of them, between Billy Batson and Shazam, they have got hair. Whoa.
Yeah,
like,
their hair could take a blast.
They can't walk down the hall 2 abreast. You know, like, their hair is wide. It's got John Travolta, like, fullness. It's outrageous.
I watched the episode The Joyriders, where a bunch of street-tough 12-year-olds are popping wheelies and eating plums. And then they put the peer pressure to steal a car on dweeby kid Chuck, who I looked a lot like. Meanwhile, Billy is giving advice from his animated godparents. To thine own self be true. They steal from Shakespeare. The kids have now ganked a joyride, but ditch the dweeby kid Chuck, who outruns Billy, but eventually meet up once Chuck's bike is stolen. Ooh. Mentor and Billy spot Chuck getting kidnapped by his own friends in a stolen vehicle. Shazam comes to the rescue via green screen, following the ruffians to the junkyard. The moron kids, including Chuck, are almost crushed, Brave Little Toaster style, but Shazam beats the evil equipment, I guess. Like, no one, it just automatically grabs and crushes. Nobody's here. Broad much? God, this was like an After School Special. With, like, Captain Nice or something really silly flying around in it.
Yeah, and I love the way he flies. It's like...
Oh, yeah, that's some...
They've got him strapped to a...
it's magic.
It seems like they got him strapped to a car hood or something. And he's holding his hands out.
Yeah, it's the most, like... You can just hang him up for a day. Come on.
Yeah.
It looks like they're like, you're going to have to just lean out. Can you, like, do a sit-up, basically, in reverse and just, like, hang off this block, this big green block?
Yeah, he's flying.
Like, what am I, the greatest American hero?
Damn, this hurts my nuts. Hey, are you like me? Do you just not give a shit as soon as he turns into Shazam?
I just don't care about Shazam. Yeah. Every time I'm confronted with Shazam, and I think there's a new Shazam out, I'm reminded, like, oh, I don't care about Shazam at all.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember a month ago,
just
Adam?
Freakazoid without any jokes, right?
Remember they were trying to foist him on us with all his family last time?
Good grief. Yeah, at least this has no extra characters.
Weird. It's totally different, but whatever.
So you were saying you love ISIS?
No.
You support ISIS. What were you saying? ISIS is good?
No.
Because? Fill in this sentence. Full support of ISIS.
I went to an ISIS fan site, and what I mean to say is,
ISIS looking for the show, ISIS officer.
Hey, you know what, folks? ISIS's name has become very controversial.
What happened?
You know,
it was that Archer show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They dragged it into the mud. Well, what's this ISIS's story? Because isn't it actually like an ancient Egyptian situation?
Yeah, oh, it sure
That's
is.
That's what they prefer to be called.
Yeah, so, like, you know, these gods bestow upon...
A lot of bestow God uponing.
It's like, I think it's Egyptian gods.
Oh, very much so.
Bestow powers upon all the descendants of this one person, right?
All into science teacher Andrea Thomas.
Well, hold on, madam. Andrea finds it. You know,
whoa.
Which I think is crazy because
dubious.
She finds it because she needs a rock, right? It's like a rock that says Shazam.
Yeah, ladies in the 70s, man, gotta get that rock.
Yeah, but she finds it and she discovers that she's a descendant of this family, which I think is crazy.
Serendipitous.
What are the chances? You know,
luck be.
Oh, hey Adam, before I forget, is that Bill Bixby doing the? Intro?
I don't think they paid anyone.
You wouldn't like her when she's angry. Seriously, though, it starts out and it's like, from the head of Ra, you know. And actually, it says at one point during her intro.
Oh, yeah, and then there's a big light-up pyramid.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
And they're like, she'll be fast as a gazelle. And they show gazelles, you know. But
go on.
Whatever. It's Bill Bixby, I'm pretty sure. But they also say she's a dedicated foe of evil.
Shaft.
Good. That's good.
She doesn't waver.
Yeah. So, Adam, I watched 11 episodes.
Tell me you watched Funny Gal.
What do you know?
That's about the not fat, fat girl, Carrie.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Okay, so barely overweight, insecure Carrie desperately seeks attention. Badly. So she starts wearing dumb hats like Blossom and driving around screaming through a megaphone to follow her to the local burger joint. She almost crashes her car, so Andrea decides to use magic because she can't raise her self-esteem naturally because Carrie feels fat and ugly because she's slightly tall. ISIS can't really relate at first and runs off, but later the teachers decide if Carrie wins a student election, her esteem will go through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Great plan. Carrie, of course, mishears the discussion and thinks it's a huge prank. Leaves the school a broken person.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes back wearing insane clothes with balloons that say, vote for the candidate that looks like this, fat, which she's not. And everyone's like, not cool. Like, no one's jiving with her anti-her, like, sentiment. So the teacher buddies are chilling on their boat, gossiping about Whoa. Carrie's emotional blockage. Sweet. Having a drink. While at school, Carrie's behind in the polls because everyone hates her low self-esteem. Thanks for wasting our time. good handling. Carrie decides to steal the SS teacher as a publicity stunt question. But fucks up the engine because she's not fat but stupid. It probably rejected keeping her low self-esteem afloat. ISIS calls in Captain Marvel, of course, to assist her with a horrible oncoming storm. And beach fat Carrie like a whale on the Pacific coastline. If people like you can come through for someone like me, maybe I'm not as worthless as I thought. I don't know about that. I felt like I was watching Powerhouse.
What?
It's another like after school special of the series.
Adam,
it was hilarious.
Did the girl have a weird hobby?
Everyone had a weird hobby. Everyone had a little weird business.
Yeah.
And it was up to you to make it up before they cut away, too. So it was like, lots of, like, dicking about in this show.
I probably
could have watched more ISIS, to tell the truth. That one was better.
Man, you know.
You were right about ISIS.
What?
It's delightful.
I told you about ISIS.
It is kind
I
of a romp.
Said you should check out ISIS.
It's a romp.
Yeah, you know what? My friend Steven, you know, was telling me he loved this series, and he was telling me about it forever, so I had already heard of it, you know? So I went to check it out, And I gotta say, you know, it's maybe...
Call me crazy.
It's maybe a little better than Wonder Woman, actually.
Like, yeah, it kind of is like Wonder Woman.
Maybe, right. You know, but...
It's so silly and has no... It's Wonder Woman by way of Electra Woman and Dyna Girl, I guess. It's a little silly. But it all takes place in After School Special / Debbie Does Dallas Vision.
Yeah, and you know, some...
Really, those two really shouldn't look alike. That's a big mistake. Keep your porn and After School Specials. They should look way differenter than they did.
Adam, I want to ask you, what is her class doing half the time when she's running off being ISIS?
She lets her pet Raven?
Raven.
She has a pet Raven.
Because I thought it was a crow.
And it talks, right? It says stuff.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I'm substituting today.
You know what was funny? I was thinking that the Raven's voice kind of sounded like the old people voice that you do sometimes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But in one episode...
Knew your father, I did.
In one episode, they're like, what's with that crow? And they're like, it's not a crow, it's a raven, because ravens have more robust feathers.
Yeah! And then they stoned that person.
Adam, let me tell you the formula to an ISIS episode, okay? You ready for this? Okay, a kid has low self-esteem.
Oh, sweet.
And... The kid...
The root of all evil.
He or she has a hobby that they enjoy, be it...
Okay.
Rock collecting, bird watching, or ham radio, right?
Or self-deprecation.
So the kid screws around with their hobby, right? But they decide, I want to be the strongest person in the world. I'm going to be the strongest.
Everybody's got to see this.
And they're like, Bobby, you're not going to be the strongest, you know? And then...
You're being kind of a dick.
And then ISIS will show up. You know, and they'll be like, I'm going to be the strongest. I'm going to throw this rock, right? And then ISIS will show up, and ISIS will grab a boulder and then throw it. And they're like, oh, my God, ISIS is, like, stronger than anybody could ever be. And then the kid will be like, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe I'll do some rock collecting.
No, if ISIS can do that, I can do me.
Swear to God, Adam,
I
didn't make any of those up. Those are real.
Rock. That kind of coincides with what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I was like, this is remarkably duh.
That's the formula, is there's a kid, and the kid is into something, some hobby that they just screw with.
Does everyone have a general distaste for people with low self-esteem? They're like, what's your deal?
I don't know.
I'm sad. Like, I really fucked up today.
Kind of interesting.
Well, you know, people kind of like people who don't feel bad about themselves, so.
Yeah.
Why don't you prove yourself in a big, dumb way or something.
They end up being like, you can be pretty cool if you do ham radio. And the kid's like, yeah, I can. You know,
you're
like,
right. Hey, I can be cool.
But at least they're doing something. You know what I'm saying?
They're not doing the drugs or the plums. Something.
Folks, by the way, this is Joanne Cameron. And she's beautiful. She's a gorgeous woman.
She's not really done a lot of specific things.
No. I couldn't find anything. You know,
she's like, I did it all in ISIS.
Yeah. She did a couple of movies, I guess, after this, you know, at least two or three movies. But anyway, she was gorgeous. She actually, you know, I think she looked like a woman that would be, you know, popular these days. But I wonder why she didn't do more stuff, honestly.
Yeah, it kind of seemed weird. But she seemed to have fun here. She was like, as ISIS, I did my duty.
Mm-hmm. yeah. You know, Adam, by the way, some of her powers...
yeah, what are they, anyway?
She can
fly.
She can fly.
Like an eagle, right?
She can run like a gazelle, you know.
But when you can fly like an eagle...
She's so strong that in one episode, she holds up a whole mountain that, like, she braces a mountain on her back.
Like, what animal can do that? Yeah. Like a man who can tame a mountain?
The gorilla. Oh, I did...
Like Kong?
There was one where she fought a guy in a gorilla suit.
Oh, God.
By the way.
Of course there was.
Oh, you know, did I already say, I think it's interesting that I watched 11 episodes and you caught one that I did not see?
Well, I had to go way down there. I was like, oh, that sounds pitiful. How do you save that situation with superpowers? She has to be really dumb.
She plays with it a little bit. Like, she'll come in and save the day and they'll be like, where did you go, teacher? And, you know, you're not ISIS, are you? And she'd be like,
what a weird question.
I'm just a woman. You know, like, you think...
A woman doing my duty.
Yeah. This show's dope.
The name of the school should have been Self-Esteem High. Oddly enough, this whole show was consistently directed by Hollingsworth Morris. Now, I only bring it up because he's directed over 80 shows and films, including the Puffin Stuff film and show, 17 Dukes of Hazzard, 3 Delta Houses, there's not many, 59 Lassies, 10 New Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Hanna-Barbera, 46 McHale's Navy, 50 Lone Rangers, and 11 episodes of The Fall Guy. Perennial after Saturday morning.
That's a death-defying show. Life he leads.
I don't know why it's always The Fall Guy.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Anything else about ISIS you'd like to praise?
No, not really.
That's all I can say.
I did want to point out that they actually revived her this year.
Oh, they brought the characters from ISIS back, or just her? Yes,
yeah, just her, as I recall. But, by the way, the other characters are Cindy Lee, and Stevie is one of the kids.
Yeah,
and
they're people on the show, but...
There's one with a hillbilly kid. But, anyway, so... they brought back Isis because she's a DC character, and they brought her back on the CW's Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
And this time she's played by like a woman of Middle Eastern descent. Cool. Which makes more sense. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That does help a lot.
And also due to, I have no clue what, they had to change her name from Isis. So now she's known as Zari. Right, Z-A-R-I, right?
Like Zaire.
But the only part, you know, that you might like all that actually, but you might find this interesting. In the first episode where she appears on Legends of Tomorrow, it's the Halloween episode.
Hey, all right.
And
I'll probably see it then.
In the end of the episode, they all put on Halloween outfits, and she puts on Isis's outfit from the old TV show.
Everyone's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. Yeah.
She's like, I'm an Avenger.
But that's pretty cool, though, you know? It's just a coincidence to me that we caught Isis and she's being revived just this year. This is 40 years later, you know? Like, whoa. But
maybe they brought it back because of a Googling incident. They're like, oh, that's that. Well, I think that's for sale.
I don't know, you know.
Filmation pretty much sold off most of their property, right?
Yeah,
they owned it in the first place.
This is the Filmation, the rotating credit guys again.
Right, right, right.
That's how you know you're watching them. If the credits are rotating like a circle, you're watching Filmation.
That's pretty far out.
Most of the time if you're bummed. But anyway, I don't have much more to say about Isis, but pretty good. Maybe better than Wonder Woman.
It's pretty nuts. And spacey. And it's far out. Hey, 11 o'clock, it's the Far Out Space Nuts. Sid and Marty Croft silliness. One season. I said lunch, not launch.
Oh,
man. I watched one of these and I had to watch all of them.
How many are there?
There's only like 15, I think. 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
like every Sid and Marty Croft show... It's one episode before the sexual stuff happens.
Yeah, every show.
This is Bob Denver and Chuck McCann.
Yeah.
You know Bob Denver, of course, is Gilligan. Chuck McCann has a huge back catalog of local Northeastern kids show hosting gigs. He had his own program, anything with like Popeye. I guess some people would have like a cowboy or a clown. He was like a police officer that introduced like Stooges. Lots of people grew up watching Chuck McCann, and he was on Cool McCool, which watch the episode here about Cool McCool.
I remember him.
In this situation, he's pretty much Skipper, but more fed up and.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of like
drunk, I guess.
He's brighter than Skipper a little bit.
These two janitors are stuck in space when they miss here launches lunch, and they end up along the way taking on a giant space rat named Honk, who looks like the rat from Rampage, with a horn sticking out of his head. Honk.
Yeah.
He's
a nightmare. He's a nightmare.
I could do without him, but everything else in this show is delightfully stupid.
Mm-hmm. I remembered it actually.
Really? Had you seen it? Because it was on the Family Channel a lot in the 90s and reruns. And
that must have been it.
Kids picked up on it because Bob Denver suddenly was like, I did something else.
Mm-hmm. He's got gray hair now.
Yeah, he was only like 40, so he decided his character Junior would have a gray wig.
Get out of here. Really? I mean, so I can see now that it was
Bob Denver's decision. I guess he was like, what's the opposite of everything Gilligan wore? That's what Junior wears. Now I'm going to do the exact same jokes, though.
Now that you say it, I can see that being a wig, actually, but
I was delighted. Just like Lost Saucer, the stupidness of these Sid and Marty Krofft shows are so good.
I think I would, I would rather watch this. Love it. I personally would. Actually, this is close. I would almost rather watch this than Lost Saucer.
It's a hard choice.
With the exception of Honk, because his honking Honk is socks. Really great.
That was the thing about Dorse. He was frightening and very, very quiet.
You're right. Yeah. Every time Dorse steps on the scene, you want to die. You're just like, no, no.
There's something hypnotic about this show, though. It is just like, it's the equivalent of the ether bottle being broken. You're like, really? This is what happened?
Yeah.
You almost want to watch it as proof that it actually aired.
Yeah, but it did.
It's so dumb, too.
Man.
Delightful. And you could really tell they were like told to like, you know, have fun. Figure the scene out. Here's three turns of phrase. Do it for 8 minutes while this like I swear there was an 8 minute scene where that played and they were just like, hinge the winch to the bench. Like, they were just making the same kind of...
I could hinge the winch to the bench, but if I hinge the winch, I would hinge.
Oh, my God. I was like, ooh, wow, bold. This will be the show. I loved it. Know I'm not selling it very well at all. It's a psychotropic nightmare with Gilligan and a fat guy.
I loved it. And, you know, I recalled it, I guess, from the 90s.
Mm.
But, anything about the voice of Honk? Patty Maloney.
He was lumpy. Yeah.
Lumpy in what? In
In life. Oh, but I mean, in the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's right. As well,
yeah, Star Wars Holiday Special. Yep. Also operated the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, for real?
Quite often.
Wow. Yep. So he was a small fella.
Yeah.
Oh, well, woman. Excuse me.
Woman. Yeah.
Patty
Maloney. I'm sorry. But
sorry, Maloney Estate.
Yeah, you could do worse. You could do worse. Like I said, it's separate.
Yeah, Honk's the only real downside to this, and the effects are so crazy. There's only really one interesting Far Out Space Nuts story, and I'll save it for after we talk about episodes. I watched it's all of them, but the one I wanted to talk about was It's All in Your Mind. Where Barney and Junior are on a gloomy planet trying to assemble their engine when a supercomputer sends several aliens to capture them while infiltrating their minds, creating any literal business Junior thinks. After hitting Barney with a virtual pie, of course, the two are confronted by the aliens taken hostage as a supercomputer called Gal takes over their brains.
Don't know where they got that.
Yeah. Junior thinks of an escape door, but he accidentally thinks of a scary monster who chases them right back to the aliens. Lots of ending up back where we were. They encounter a gal who has 36-24-36 written on her sequencer for some reason.
I think we all know what that means.
Violent Femmes fans, I guess. And prepares the two for mind transference. I wish to make you part of me, cutie pie.
Whoa.
Disturbing. Honk pulls the off switch, and they rescue Junior from Gal, who loves his complicated, uncomplicated mind. But not before a goofy computer Bob Denver mind switch. Gal's circuits overload because he's so stupid, and the alien slaves are grateful. Our heroes escape. But it's a real Ed Wood School of Improv getting through these things.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Adam, it was... I got down the producer behind it was John Carradine.
Oh, he appeared in an episode.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think he might have been an like Money Man, too.
Oh, I don't know. I know he acted in it, and everyone was like, why are you here? It was an insane like coup to get him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
There were several creatures. The makeup on this show's bonkers. There were bird people called Voltrons, and they made them sit on giant eggs. And there's a time tunnel episode where they fly through all the past episodes.
Oh, really?
End up back at the beginning of the opening credits. But they're like, we miss Honk, of all people. So they're like, launch. No, oh, man.
Oh, and they redo it like Land of the Lost. They repeat their cycle.
Exactly. Just in case syndication happens. Isn't it weird how some of these... Sid and Marty Krofft did this more than once where they had an episode that was like, oh, even if they get out, they'll enter right at the same time. This show does the same thing.
And by the way, I love this stuff.
I love it too. It's really depressing.
Yeah.
And it didn't need to happen on the Far Out Space Nuts. Oh, they'll never get home? That's cool.
I watch all kinds of depressing stuff. Hey, Sam Beckett never made it home. You know.
Did you see anything particularly haunting other than the general score of this show? Sounds like Ghoulie music.
No. No, you know, I just want to reiterate what I said before, which is I watched this once in my life already, and, you know, I would do it again. So, you know, this is one of the ones in the lineup. I check more out.
It's
like,
crazy.
I like Bob Denver's character here. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of more cutting loose than Gilligan.
Grease Monkey Gilligan.
Yeah.
I gotta put him.
I don't enjoy Maynard G. Krebs that much. You know what I'm saying?
He's kind of disgusting.
And then you got Gilligan, who kind of wears on you after a while.
Right.
But then here, he's just kind of like, fuck it.
You know, he's kind of like just not paying attention on this show.
Isn't that kind of enjoyable in a way?
There's some crazy effects on this one. Mm-hmm. Some would say influentially crazy, because there's a consistent rumor that 1975 on the same lot, George Lucas paid a visit to the Far Out Space Nuts makeup tent where he saw the people wearing these crazy outfits drinking out of long straws.
Oh, no way. Don't tell me.
Some say something like that showed up in one of his movies later that
Mos Eisley.
Decade.
Clearly, you're talking about Mos Eisley. Was based.
And there's
on...
some Wookiee charms going on in Far Out Space Nuts. So if you remember, like, this is pre-Star Wars, that makeup's pretty Star Warsy for aliens.
Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, they even steal some of the effects, sound effects on this show.
Believe it.
Star Wars.
What predates it?
That was rampant this year, by the way. But,
oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. Far Out Space Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all dead now. Just like the ghosts on Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It's time for the Ghostbusters. 11:30.
Forrest Tucker and Larry Storch.
Don't you love the Ghostbusters?
Is Ghostbusters.
You know, Ray, Egon,
Kong, Spencer, and Tracy the Ape.
Tracy. Yeah, so Spencer's the one in the hat.
What was the theme for the Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters.
Let's go, Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. Let's go, let's go. Or are you talking about the movie? Because there's a live-action movie, too. Or live-action show, I'm sorry.
Well, this is the live-action show.
Oh, and this was the
Yeah, and then the animated one is 86 to coincide with the terrible
You shitting
fact that they couldn't get the name Ghostbusters. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch the cartoon Ghostbusters? Because that's a sequel to this.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I watched both, but I only watched one long episode of the live action.
Okay.
That featured a vampire and his girlfriend.
Okay.
And, you know the one I'm talking about?
And with the ape, too?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
As long as Tracy the Ape's there, it is Ghostbusters.
Oh, Tracy the Ape. Yeah, Tracy the Ape was there. And by the way, it listed Tracy the Ape as, like, Tracy's...
handler. Thank you.
So, like, they're trying to put off on you that this ape's real.
Bravo. Whoa, I gotta see this.
No.
They got that ape rolling his eyes and wearing a beanie hat. If so, that's sad. So this is the perpetually bumbling supernatural detectives with an ape. Handled by Bob Burns.
Damn.
Gorillas shouldn't drive cars. Mm. So this is like a schluppy detective version.
Yeah, and so the guys, the main guys are way older.
Couple of bums.
They're way older than the characters in the cartoon.
Doesn't one have Jughead's shirt on? Like, Kong is like Forrest Tucker, and he's all old, and he's got like a sloppy shirt on.
He wears a number 8.
Yeah.
And he wears like a Jughead hat.
Yeah.
Or, no, it's not Jughead. Goober. It's like a 50s kind of style
pork,
hat.
It's kind of a pork pie. You know what? It's every hat ever. God, we've mentioned it.
You're right.
He's got a goofy hat on that shouldn't be on in 75.
Right.
And then Larry Storch is dressed basically like the mask.
Yeah. By the way, this is Larry Storch from F Troop.
They're both from F Troop.
Oh.
So they're the same characters here.
Hey, Animaniacs fans.
Exactly. And it came up a lot on Freakazoid, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
of course. Right. Even actual scenes from it.
So they would get the latest ghost case, and Tracy would get blown up because it was a parody of Mission Impossible. I thought that was sad. Every episode.
Really?
They're like, this message was self-destruct. And he's like, like, that's not funny. They just hurt that ape. Gorillas shouldn't drive. Paintings and pictures fall off the wall. The jokes are so bad on this show. They just cut to them falling after bad jokes. That's how bad this is.
It looks like hell.
It was kind of hilarious.
It looks like hell.
Yeah, they inevitably always go to a house by a cemetery.
There's like the backdrop is just a curtain.
It is. It's a low rent
situation.
But I kind of got sucked in immediately because I watched the Maltese Monkey and Billy Barty's there with Johnny Brown from Laugh-In playing Fat Man and Rabbit, two crooks who scheme on bringing gangster Big Al back from the dead to retrieve the thing. Ugh, Billy Barty's delightful. And then Big Al, the ghost, looks identical to Spencer. So there's a bunch of double your refreshment jokes.
Oh my!
So yeah, it's pretty stupid.
I think
how do they get rid of the ghost? They like, we gotta defragment them. They use some little equipment. They don't do any like.
They don't have cameras like the newer ones.
I guess not. Sorry. It was real like rinky dinky. I think they almost waved them away.
Oh my god. Yeah, I can imagine.
What did they do in the cartoon?
Because
that's their kids, basically. Their offspring.
Oh, really?
Is the way to sell it.
They had cameras around their necks, and they would kind of take a picture of the ghost, you know?
And that would evaporate them?
I guess.
See, yeah. I've never seen the cartoon sequel to this. I've only seen, like, the toys for it.
Well, if you go on YouTube, they've actually spliced together a solid hour of the cartoon.
Probably from, like, one of the old VHSs. It was just, like, a bunch of episodes.
So you can find that easy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and all the episodes of the live-action one were there, too.
You might be interested in the... The villain's kind of weird, you know, like, I don't know.
There's probably a reoccurring villain on the cartoon. It's just whatever.
He's kind of a...
I wish it was Billy Barty every week.
He kind of looks
Sorry, folks!
No. Even though the vampire from that one episode comes back on the cartoon.
Okay, that's probably...
But the main villain looks kind of like MF Doom, you know? He's got like a Doom face.
Right.
But it's red, you know? And he's like... Oh, God. And he can't say their name. And he'll be like, oh my God, I hate the ghost...
He can't say the Buster part?
Or he'll be like, I hate the... You know? And
that's
like,
terrible.
Ghostbusters, boss. And they got some... There's like a whole subplot about their bats. You know? There's like these bats that look like pigs.
Oh, that's right. See, I never caught this, but would always see the toy adverts and was like, there's some ripoff of Ghostbusters.
They had three bats that looked like pigs, kind of, or they had kind of pig snouts.
But. So I guess most people, most nerds, know that the Ghostbusters, this show, it came out in 75. Then in 84, 85, they made Ghostbusters. Which they almost couldn't call Ghostbusters because of this very show.
Mm-hmm.
They said, sure, you can use it, but we can still use it too, right? And they're like, go nuts.
Oh, and they
did. So they made an inferior Ghostbusters was a sequel to this, but animated in 86.
Also Filmation, right? It was Filmation.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they had to call the Ghostbuster 86 film related show the real Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
To differentiate the two.
Yeah, yeah.
What a long way to go.
I tell you, they really went hard on the original Ghostbusters too. They really tried. They got some complex. Like every time they put on their uniforms, It's a whole weird thing
that we have to see every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, they didn't even do that on the real Ghostbusters, and I probably would have been fine with it. They just replayed Ghostbusters over and over and over. You hear it four times an episode. It's worse than in Living Color's theme, which you hear like four times.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. I don't know. But, you know, I did want to tell you about one bit I saw on the animated.
Because we'll get into it, too, when we do 86.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not anywhere near as good as the real Ghostbusters. But I was watching this one scene, and these two kids are razzing each other. One of them's like, you know, and keep in mind, this is just actors reading a script, you know. And the one kid's like, are you chicken? Boak, boak, boak. And I was like, is this the Bluth? You know, remember that? Remember
that? Caw,
so
that's cha-chi, cha-chi.
You don't really want to catch this one. You want to catch the new.
So many Ghostbusters. Just watch that first movie. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be extreme. 12 o'clock. There's still shows on?
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear some real fresh take. Valley of the Dinosaurs.
Fresh take.
Reruns of the 74 series. Boy, this is Land of the Lost.
Yes.
Very much Land of the Lost meets the Brady Bunch or something.
You know, Adam, I thought it was Land of the Lost meets Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Rode, Race Bannon, does a voice in here, as well as Jackie Earle Haley.
Get the hell out. Are you serious? And he was like young or something?
Yeah. Kathy Gorey, Joan Gardner, Alan Oppenheimer. You know what? And Frank Welker.
Oh, yeah. Every villain Oppenheimer. Yeah.
God, he gets around.
Every dog Welker.
Damn. Yeah.
But this show...
Not that bad.
It's not bad. I've seen a lot worse. You know what I'm saying? Actually, like, you could do worse.
Yeah. It's the Valley of No Shadows. But oh, well.
I tell you, it's just essentially Land of the Lost. Like, do you like Land of the Lost? You'll probably like this.
It also happened here. Deep in the heart of the Amazon, the Butler family was exploring an uncharted river canyon. You think? Suddenly, whoa, caught in a violent whirlpool, they were propelled through an underground cavern and flung into a hostile world of giant prehistoric creatures in a world that time forgot or lost.
You're just repeating the synopsis from Land of the Lost.
And then when it says Valley of the Dinosaurs, a dinosaur comes up behind it and goes, roar! And I was like, that's Land of the Lost, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a modern family with a dog and a cave family with a pet stegosaurus named Glump,
mm-hmm,
which is the sound he makes when he shits.
I wasn't able to find a lot of it. Were you?
I had to poke around. I think I found some online, but it was really hard. Mm-hmm. Not very available.
Yeah, the one I watched was the one I mentioned earlier, where they're showing it on like a film projector. So.
Oh, far out. I saw...
It looked pretty good. I mean, the art.
I watched the episode Forbidden Fruit, and I was like, oh, man, this is... Because, again, like, if it's like Sid and Marty Krofft, like, oh, it's the episode with all the sexual tension coming to a head. Gleaming, beautiful, orangish fruit, boo, sparkles from a tree, and the butlers can't get enough. They're like pigs. It's like a peach/orange called Erak. The cave folks say, leave it be, as it's food for a brontosaurus named Malig. And the hungry giant approaches. Greg brings some fruit back to the cave because he's a little punk, where Malik follows, having stripped the fruit tree bare. He hammers his way in slowly, erotically, causing cave-ins. Gorlok discovers the fruit and is really pissed off. They throw Malik the fruit and he leaves, causing rocks to fall on Loke's head. Katie tends to him, Ega style. The families are trapped and water begins to fill the cave from underground. So Greg and Tana have to crawl through the cracks with Katie following, while the adults use bamboo to siphon water out, while Katie saves the kids from a pissed off dinosaur who she buries into a shallow grave. Once outside, they send down a vine for the survivors. Gorlok shows there's no hard feelings by giving Greg a playful toss. I can't believe how much English the cave folk learned. They were really on top of their game. Mm. Also, Luke was kind of hot. Again, I'm totally into cavemen, I guess. Like, every time.
That's funny.
I was like, that's no good.
You know, I don't know.
He's pretty cave sick.
Actually, I would watch more of this.
Yeah, I'd watch Land of the Lost, too.
I mean, I would totally. I remember when Netflix first came out and they had Land of the Lost streaming. Oh my god, that was awesome. I watched
What's
it.
That live action? There's a live action cave family show. What was it called? It was like Korg of 2 BC or something like that.
I don't know.
We'll have to watch it eventually. There's no... Welcome to Dinosaur Valley days. Hey, 12:30. There's one more show to go. Hey, hey, hey. It's Fat Albert. Season 3 of 8. The continued preachy, barely animated non-ventures of Bill Cosby's bastard son.
The Cosby Kids, right?
The Cosby Bastards.
It says Cosby Kids. It sounds like they're...
Oh, no, it's the Cosby Kids. I gotta get out of here. That's what the show should have been. They follow him all around America.
He appears in his own show. Bill Cosby is one of the kids.
So I've kind of come to hate watching Fat Albert. How about you?
I really can barely bring myself to do it. I'll be honest with you. Because, you know...
Such a bad time every time.
I harp on this, but...
So do they.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so preachy. It's so preachy. And when they originally put it on the air, they thought it was too educational. This is CBS. If I recall correctly, ABC was supposed to air it. And then they saw the pilot or whatever, and they were like...
Woof.
They were like, this is too educational.
No.
Nobody's going to watch this. And they said, give it to the eye. Right.
Shove it in the eye.
So then they put it on, and it is too educational, or it's like it's I saw the... Did you see the pod episode?
No.
Oh my god.
Who's doing it? Their friend of the week.
Yeah, it's a friend. The
you think something would happen with a Cosby kid like Rudy or somebody? No, it's always their one time weirdo friend.
Yeah, and they've always got a weird voice, you know, like because weird, like, new voice.
Whichever intern didn't quit.
Yeah, and they float through, and they're just like, he's smoking weed.
Our friend we never see is acting strange, but how would we know compared to... We've never seen him before. That happened in the episode I watched, An Ounce of Prevention. Mm. One of the guy's many one-time friends, Lucius, is acting all kinds of drunk. First performing magic tricks that the gang responds to as if it was witchcraft, then flat out telling Rudy he's a pain in the neck and tells Fat Albert to give up. The gang is promised free pizza, but upon arriving at Lucius's place, they find him totally confused and angry. Fat Albert does some heavy spying and spots Lucius in an abandoned apartment drinking alcohol from a bag.
Oh my god.
The gang recognizes him as an alkyholic, and Fat Albert seeks his parents for advice while the Cosby kids decide they need to scare him straight. So they dress up like hallucinations of jokes of ghosts and spooky skeletons and pink elephants. Oh, Lucius doesn't buy.
What, they're trying to make him think he's drunk?
I don't know.
The only thing that pertains to.
They're like, what do you mean, pink elephant? You must be drunk. That doesn't go over. Meanwhile, Fat Mom and Fat Dad invite the Luciansons over for dinner and diming. His parents are well aware, but not sure what to do. Lucius later approaches Fat Albert, thanking him for revealing that his parents really do care about him, and quits drinking. The kids sing a song about talking to your parents using garbage as musical instruments.
A common theme.
While cutting back to Fat Mom and Fat Dad, who I was shocked aren't dead. I always assumed Fat Albert was an orphan.
They just, like, had one leg.
Like, each. It's just like... They looked just like Fat Albert with different hair. I was like, no way.
Man. You know, I read this.
With the Fattersons.
I hate it. It really haunts me that they tried to tie all this up and they showed Fat Albert's grave in the damn live action movie.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, can't say how much they screwed up
freaks
that movie.
Me, freaks me out, y'all.
But we should remind everyone that Bill Cosby is a serial alcohol drugging rapist. This episode's kind of a weird way to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Why? And then looking back, he was so preachy. Oh.
Well, I guess the squeaky wheel.
You asshole.
It's greasing people.
He's out here putting Spanish fly in people's drinks. You know what I'm
Albert
saying?
Wouldn't have been cool with that.
No.
You know what this show's...
That ain't the way to go.
This show's missing a ton of blunts. Maybe if, once Cosby dies and they can, you know, recontextualize Fat Albert. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a funny Fat Albert Brady Bunch type situation. Again, I think that's the way to go.
A Cosby-less Fat Albert?
Mm.
Yeah. Just take the character.
Bold move, but please do that.
First of all, you got to take the character Bill Cosby out of it.
Oh, Bill?
Bill. Yeah, Bill.
Bill has a terrible accident. If pop culture is going to insist Fat Albert remain in the lexicon, I think we should refigure what he kind of can do.
I agree.
Because talking about what's wrong with everybody is kind of lame. We could probably do anything with him.
Yeah. There's a reason ABC didn't want this.
But hey,
folks, can I put things in perspective real quick? I kind of enjoyed Pebbles and Bam Bam show.
Okay, going back to P&BB.
Yeah.
B-squared.
I kind of enjoyed Pebbles and Bam Bam show. I hated Fat Albert to the point that I didn't want to watch it at all. So I'm saying, like, we're not talking about The Godfather.
Gives me a stomach ache.
We're talking about I joyfully watched several episodes of Pebbles and Bam Bam. You know what I'm saying? This is my week. I watched Pebbles and Bam Bam. Wouldn't watch Fat Albert. Does that tell you something about the show? It sucks.
Yeah, the tail end of this Saturday morning spirals off after the Far Out Space Nuts.
Yeah.
Rock my world. Yeah. But next week, we'll get a double dose of Sid and Marty Krofft fun, as well as returning to the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, the cartoon?
Looks like it. And we'll meet Josie and the Pussycats. That sounds erotic.
I'll probably buy the Planet of the Apes.
And well, interesting. And we'll find out who exactly Waldo Kitty is sleeping with in his secret lives.
Whoa.
1975 sure did get heavy, boys and girls.
Waldo Kitty?
Me, wow. Well, I'm Adam Fair, and you can catch me at Adam Fair Land on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I'm Dusty Griffin, and you can catch me at Dusty Is Certifiable on Instagram, or you can catch all of our episodes on
Every Saturday morning. Fun.
Because it's fun. We just thought that'd be fun. And maybe it is. I think it is.
Can you dig it?
That's where we got.
That's our crib.
Mm-hmm. We got all the episodes there. We got Adam's YouTube.
It's totally in your face.
Yeah.
It's a real gasser.
I went in there and made it's sure sick. They're all up.
It's to.
Adam's made some cool.
You'll be totes stunned.
Yeah, when you watch this, you know, you'll see some, you know, some nice little mixes of imagery. No, Adam does a great job, y'all.
Thanks. With your support and audio work, it all comes together in a pastiche of amazingness.
Yes.
Till next Saturday morning, enjoy your Saturday nights, and we'll see y'all later.
Mm-hmm. Ronk. Saturday morning.